You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast, and I am John B. from GangreneNation.com on this Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. It's great to have you with us here on our five-day-a-week podcast. We do this Monday through Friday, and welcome if you're just joining us for the start of the season. Hope we'll have you around all year as the New York Jets compete in the 2019 NFL season. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. You can do it on your favorite podcast source, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and please do leave the show a good review. Well, a happy overreaction week to you. That's what this week is called in the NFL schedule. After your week one performance, there tends to be an overreaction. Sometimes the overreaction is good if your team puts in a stellar opening performance, and sometimes it's bad, like you see happening with the New York Jets right now after a brutal week one loss to the Buffalo Bills, in which the Jets blew a 16-0 lead late in the third quarter when they fell to the Bills 17-16. And overreaction week is going to be the topic of our show today. I'm going to give you a number of statements that I'm seeing out there being made by Jets fans, and I'm going to tell you whether or not I think it's an overreaction. And I'm going to start off with this caveat. If I'm ruling something an overreaction, that does not necessarily mean it's going to be incorrect down the line. It just means I think that there's not enough evidence to make that statement definitively right now. If things continue along the path that we've seen in week one, then yes, that statement will be accurate. But I don't think that my point will be that I don't think that there's enough evidence to say it right now. I'm going to say things could turn around in a positive direction. So that's going to be the topic of today's show. So I'm going to start off with Sam Darnold, who turned in a bad performance. And Adam Gase, interestingly, Monday said that after reviewing the film, he did not think Darnold played that badly. And I think, boy, that's – I haven't seen the All-22 film yet. It hasn't come out yet at the time of the recording of this show. But I am a little skeptical of that statement just because, I mean, I think there were enough missed throws that you could see clearly on the television view that indicated to me that Darnold had a very shaky performance. Darnold left a lot of throws on the field. And it's led to a lot of consternation within the fan base, lots of frustration. People now questioning, is Darnold really that good? Is he going to be a bust? Is there any hope for him? And I will start off the show by saying overreaction. That is an overreaction in my opinion. Look, and I alluded to this a little bit on yesterday's show if you listened. I can't guarantee you that Sam Darnold's going to have a successful NFL career. I think it's going to happen. I've been high on him for a long time. I can't tell you definitively, though, that it's definitely going to work out. That said, I don't think you can necessarily take away from one game that now his career is over. Now it's time to hit the panic button. I think that you have to view it, and this is especially true at the quarterback position. For young players, it's a slow cook. It's a story that's being told over multiple years. And you can look at some of the great quarterbacks in the NFL who struggled week one. And there's also a quarterback who was drafted in 2018 ahead of Sam Darnold who struggled quite a bit. It'll be this week's opponent, Baker Mayfield. I don't think anybody would say Baker Mayfield's career is over because of a bad week one. And I think there's a tendency to overreact, and I guess that's the fitting theme for the show, because we're talking about overreactions. I think you overreact good and you overreact bad. It's true in week one, and it's true every week when you're talking about a young quarterback. The end of last year, Sam Darnold played a very strong month of December, and I think people maybe dismissed some of the flaws in his game, some of the growth he still needs to do after that strong month of December, and just assumed that he was going to step in and be an MVP candidate from day one. Well, that would be nice, but it doesn't always work out that way. That said, one bad game to start your second season is not necessarily the end of your career. Darnold could easily go out next week and play a very strong game, and that does not mean Sam Darnold's destined for the Hall of Fame. It's not a week-to-week proposition. You can't even judge a young quarterback from year to year. Young quarterbacks can be inconsistent. A guy can have a great second year and kind of slip back year three, have a great year four. The path is not always straight up or straight down for you. It's not a situation where you get better and better, 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 or worse, 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 worse. Sometimes you have good year regression, then improvement. And that also goes week to week. So I you can't go too crazy for based on one game, especially when you're dealing with a young quarterback. Now, again, if he plays that badly consistently this year, it's a different story. Then we can start to get worried about him. But the point of the overreaction is that you're overreacting to a sample size that's too limited right now, if you're saying that. All right, next up, the Jets offensive line, which had a miserable game, bad pass protection, not good run blocking either. Le'Veon Bell played really well. I mean, he made something out of nothing a lot. So is the offensive line doomed for the Jets? And I'm going to say overreaction. I'm going to say that that's an overreaction from this standpoint. First of all, I'm not convinced Ryan Khalil is up to the task yet. I think that he still may be getting into shape. But beyond that, you had five guys who've never played together. It's not just that they've never played together in the preseason. They did not even practice together during the offseason. They were not part of the offseason program together. They did not practice together in training camp. And the offensive line functions very much as a unit. So I think that this is going to be a great offensive line? No. In fact, I would probably put their quality probably at the best case scenario if everybody plays up to their capabilities. I'd say they're probably a middle of the pack offensive line. I don't think this is a great offensive line, but these guys are still learning how to work with each other, and that's really important because defenses move around. You have to figure out, all right, if this guy comes in this way, do I pass him off? How's the guard next to me going to react? It's a learning process. So I do expect that this offensive line is going to get better. And so I qualify my statement that it's an overreaction from the standpoint that I don't think this is going to be an elite offensive line. But I also think that the performances are probably, as long as nobody gets hurt, I think the performances are going to improve over the course of the 2019 season as these guys get into better shape and as they learn how to play with each other. And I think that they'll start to figure things out a little bit, and we'll start to see some improved line play. MyBookie is fast and easy, and they pay when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday of overreaction week in the NFL, talking about things people are saying about the Jets and whether or not they are overreactions. Next comment I've seen a lot of is that the Jets are in deep trouble with these corners. There's not a lot of hope for these corners. And I'm going to label that not an overreaction. I think that the Jets have a lot of issues at the corner position, and I don't really know what they're going to be able to do here. I think that the corner position, it's tough to hide a lack of corners in the NFL unless you have a fierce four-man pass rush, and I'm not sure the Jets have a fierce four-man pass rush at this point in time. I think it's a very shaky proposition. We saw that on Sunday. I mean, here's the concerning thing for the Jets is the Bills do not have a great group of receivers. It's not a very good group of receivers. They have some skill. I mean, they have some speed. And, you know, this Jets group, especially Trumaine Johnson, they don't match up well against speedy receivers, but this is not going to be one of the best receiver groups that the Jets face all year. And they were lit up by this group, and especially Trumaine Johnson and Darrell Roberts. And you look at the two of them with Johnson. I mean, Johnson, you're hoping has some sort of bounce back season because there have been points in the past where he's been good, but it's been a while since he's been good. He had a miserable first year with the Jets. And I think a lot of it's just due to, he was never a blazing fast guy, but he always had enough speed to at least compete. And it just seems like he doesn't trust himself at all. The issue with Johnson is that he was always, when he was at his best, he was a good press corner. Well, part of playing press means that you have to have confidence in your speed because there are going to be points where you miss your jam and you have to be able to run stride for stride with the receiver. If you don't think you can do that, you're not going to play press. And that's the reason Johnson, I think, stopped playing aggressive coverage a year ago, and he was not playing aggressive coverage at all in this game against Buffalo. And as far as Roberts goes, and this is not a guy who's ever shown you he can be a quality starter in the NFL. He's been in the league for 4 years. I don't know why the Jets thought he could start now, because it certainly has not looked like he was a good starter at any point in his career. He looked like last year, maybe he showed you he could be a decent backup, because he did play well for a couple weeks there, but this is not a guy, you know, at Roberts' age, by the time you've reached that age, you're either a good NFL player or you're not in most cases. You've either shown you can be a starter or you've shown you can't be a starter. And Roberts has shown he cannot be a starter. So you have nothing really to fall back on with these guys. They've shown you that they've put enough on their resumes to show you that they're not good corners, at least at this point in their careers. So I don't really know what the answer is. I do not think it's an overreaction to say that Jets are in trouble at corner. Corey Vedvik, the kicker who missed the extra point and the 45-yard field goal against Buffalo, Jets need to cut him. You know, he can't be trusted. I'm going to say not an overreaction. I'll tell you, it's not. I've been going on about this for weeks. There are decent kickers out there right now. I mean, I can name you guys who are out there, free agent kickers who have shown you they can kick on this level. They can do an adequate job on this level. And for whatever reason, the Jets have just decided that throughout the last few months that they are going to try and bring in guys with big legs who are reclamation projects and try and fix them. They did that with Cantizero, which was not an awful. I mean, Cantizero at least had success with the Jets in 2017. I get trying to get him on the rebound. And then Taylor Bertolet, who no experience in the NFL. And then Vedvik, who was a bad kicker. Unsuccessful college kicker. He made about 60% of his kicks in college, and then a bad preseason. You just have to get out of this mindset that Brant Boyer can fix any big leg kicker. Just bring in a guy who knows how to kick. There are guys out there who know how to make extra points and field goals. They're out there. They've done it. I don't understand this. And I mean, the other point I'd make is that the Jets have a quality punter in Lachlan Edwards, and they still brought in competition for him in training camp. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I like the idea of having a second punter and a second kicker in camp. Jets had nothing at kicker. Jets had very unaccomplished kickers who showed you throughout training camp practices and preseason games that they were shaky. And they brought in no competition for any of these guys. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And Vedvik has shown me nothing. I mean, I get that people are going to say he never kicked at MetLife Stadium before, and there was a soccer game, so the Jets couldn't bring him in during the week to try out, you know, to get used to the stadium. I'm sorry. Where's the track record of success with this guy? And I'll be honest, it's not just the Jets, because Minnesota traded a pick for this guy. And this guy was getting all kinds of buzz in preseason, which I never understood. I really did not understand the hype around this guy. So I think the Jets are in a little bit of trouble there. That's what I would say. I think that is not an overreaction. Next statement. After a good game, Le'Veon Bell is ready to be an elite back in the NFL again. I'm going to say not an overreaction. I think that he looked great in that game, and if the Jets had blocked a little bit better, he would have had a monster statistical game. I noticed that when I was at training camp, he looked like he was in great shape, and he looked like he was in great shape in that game. And I'll tell you, his best run was a pretty unremarkable run. It was on a 4th-and-1 late in the fourth quarter where the Jets were trying to extend their last drive. They were down a point. He was contacted in the backfield by a couple guys, and somehow, and I couldn't believe that he picked up the first down. And if the Jets had come back to win, that's the play of the game. But Bell looked as good as ever. And the question has been, would he be rusty, or would the year off keep him fresh? And certainly through week one, it looks like he's fresh, and he looks like he's ready to resume his mantle as being one of the elite backs in the NFL. I thought it was a really good performance by Le'Veon Bell, and I think that if the offensive line starts to improve a little bit, you're going to see some monster games going forward. He did not leave the field either. He played every single snap for the Jets. So I think there's a lot to be excited about with Le'Veon Bell going forward, and I think that he certainly did not look like a guy who has missed a beat after skipping an entire season. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Tuesday, overreaction week in the NFL, telling you whether or not certain things people are saying about the Jets are overreactions. Next comment, people are declaring that CJ Mosley, Le'Veon Bell, and Jamison Crowder are worth every penny. All three of them had strong games to a certain extent. Mosley had a brilliant game, part of a couple turnovers, played well in coverage, in the middle of a couple tackles before leaving with an injury. Bell, we just talked about in the last segment, had a strong game. And Jamison Crowder had 14 catches, under 100 yards, though. Probably not as great as the other two, but he did have some moments. I mean, he did move the chains a couple times. He did have some big third down catches, so maybe not as good as the 14-catch stat line would normally suggest, but still a solid game for Jamison Crowder. So all three of these guys are worth every penny. I'm going to say overreaction from the standpoint. Now, if these guys go out there and play like that every single week, it's not going to be an overreaction, but again, too early to say that. You never judge the quality of a free agent signing based on one game, and that's good or bad. That's good or bad. These guys need to do it consistently over the next couple seasons. Now, if CJ Mosley plays like that every single week, yeah, it'll be worth it. But if Mosley regresses, if Mosley's not an impact player, it's not going to be worth it. If Le'Veon Bell goes out, and I am expecting Bell. I just told you in the last segment, I'm expecting Bell to go back to being one of the best backs in the NFL. But if he goes out and is not as good going forward, we're not going to remember week one. Nobody's going to care about week one. And the same goes with Crowder. They're off to good starts, but you can never say definitively that a signing is a success or a failure based only on week one. The Jets signed these guys for multiple years. They want to get multiple years of production out of these guys. They want for more than 1 year for these guys to show up consistently almost every single week. So they have not gotten that out of that. You don't get your money's worth just because a guy goes out and produces one time. You need to see that more and more, and hopefully they will. And that's not to say that they won't. Again, it's just too early to say that. Adam Gase's play calling is cause for concern. I'm going to go on that one, not an overreaction, because we saw a lot of the same issues he had in Miami, whether it's being too focused on short passes to the slot that are ineffective. Again, Jamison Crowder should not be catching 14 passes in a game. 14 catches under 100 yards. That's not going to get it done. Jamison Crowder has his role. On a 3rd-and-3, he's going to be a good guy to have running an option route out of the slot. It's going to be tough to stop. Jamison Crowder has his role, but Jamison Crowder is not your go-to guy. So that was an issue. You want to talk about Jets throwing it short of the sticks on 3rd down play. How about that screen to Jamison Crowder in the 4th quarter? They're up 16-10, 3rd-and-12, and Gase is throwing a screen to Crowder. I mean, come on. That was one of the worst play call. That was the worst play call of the game. Situational play calling. That's been an issue for Gase. There are so many things that are concerning about Gase's. Gase brings certain things to the table. I think his plays are generally pretty well designed, but I think as a play caller, there's a lot to be desired. There has been a lot to be desired throughout his career, and we saw a lot of those issues pop up in Sunday's game. You want to talk about player deployment. Where was Ty Montgomery during this game? A game where the Jets are struggling to get anything going in the passing game. Receivers are struggling to separate from corners. Why not take advantage of the fact you have multiple quality receiving backs? Maybe put Bell and Montgomery in more packages together on the field, more personnel packages. Try and take advantage. Maybe you get into a mismatch. One of them gets into a mismatch against the linebacker. You can take advantage of that. It's one thing to say that made the difference. I'm not saying that necessarily made the difference between the Jets winning and losing, but as a coach, all you can do is put your players in the best chance to succeed. And I don't think Gase did, because I think Gase did not put his best receivers onto the field at all times with a struggling passing game. Felt like we needed to see more Montgomery in that game. So, lots of things that just really made me scratch my head about the way Gase handled this game on Sunday. And these were the issues that you saw in Miami. It's not like these things were new. So again, you go back. The reason I'm saying this is not an overreaction is because this is the continuation of multi-season trends. These are things we've seen in the past. This is not something that just popped up for the first time in this game. Something that's been an ongoing issue with Gase. One of my concerns heading into the season. And Gase kind of brushed off these concerns. He kind of has hinted in the past that he felt his quarterbacks were more limited and that he'd be willing to open things up with Darnold. Well, it did not happen in this game. So Gase's play calling, I think, really has me concerned going forward. Not saying it's impossible for it to improve, but I'm saying I think it's not an overreaction if you want to question how good of a play caller this guy is after week one, because a lot of the same bad tendencies we saw in Miami have returned in a new stop. And then the final thing I keep saying is that the season is over, and this is the easiest one of all. Massive, massive, massive overreaction. The season is not over after one game. Now, I will say this. This week two game is really important, because the Jets lose this game, go 0-2, they lose to the Browns. Then you have a game against New England coming up where it's quite possible you're going 0-3. Jets are in some big trouble if they lose this game to Cleveland. But if the Jets go out and win on Monday night, and that's certainly possible, because the Browns did not look good. Browns looked like week one. Browns looked like they may be the team. It seems like every year there's a team that gets a ton of hype where things just fall apart. Last year it was San Francisco. Everybody thought they were the trendy pick last year with Garoppolo. And, you know, things fell apart for them very early with the Garoppolo injury, other stuff happening. Cleveland in week one, and I don't want to overreact to Cleveland because it is overreaction week and we're trying to avoid overreactions. Cleveland could, and I'm not saying they will be, but Cleveland could be that team this year that where you, they come in with all the hype and they just don't deliver on it. So we'll see what happens. That game does not look as daunting as it did at the start of the season, but then again, the Jets, you also were probably banking on beating Buffalo week one, so maybe the Jets, you're not feeling as good about the Jets as you were at the start of this a few days ago before the season started. But it's too early to say. Listen, it's certainly plausible the Jets go out and play a great game against the Browns. The Jets did not play their best game. Even 16-0, the Jets were not playing their best game against the Bills. So maybe they come out Monday and play their best game against the Browns. If they win that game and they're 1-1, I think everybody's going to be feeling a lot better about this team. Now, again, they lose this game. Different story. We're in some deep trouble then. But again, that the whole point is that an overreaction doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It's just an overreaction for what we know at this point in time. We need more evidence to prove what we're saying. That's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoyed the show, subscribe to it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify are among your options. Leave the show a good review if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll chat again tomorrow.